thank you for being here. The Lord's given me a message today that I believe is one that needs to be heard around the world. And if God could use me to get it around the world, then I'm going to give it to you, and then you give it to your sphere of influence, and they give it to their sphere of influence, and maybe we can reach the world with this message. Because today we need the wisdom of God like never before. We need the wisdom of God. So let's pray as we study God's Word together for supernatural insight. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Your Word is alive. Your Word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Your Word can bring about change. Your Word can transform and renew our minds, Lord God. You can transform us into from glory to glory and faith to faith of that which you've created us through your Word. So God, we pray you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our mind to understand and our heart to believe. Yes, God, let your Word awaken faith in our heart to believe today that this week can be different, that the remainder of this year can be different, that this new Hebraic year that we're entering into can be different, Lord God, for your glory and for your honor. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. We need wisdom, godly wisdom today like never before. And we were sitting there talking as the family. That's my heartbeat is sitting around and talking to my family. I love my children and my wife. And we were just discussing things and the challenges of that we were talking about praying for our children and our teachers and parents and the challenges of going back to school and things that they're facing. And our daughter, Morgan, she just said, I pray for the wisdom of Solomon every day. And she said, I know if I ask God for wisdom and I get the wisdom of Solomon, then I'll be thinking God's thoughts and I can make godly decisions in everything that I do. And she's got a little business she does, and she has a business and my relationships, my friends and everything. And I'm sitting there looking at her and I'm like, wait a minute now. Here, my wife gets up here and preempts my sermon and talks about my sermon, and I only tell them I preach about Jesus. So I'm like, okay, now Morgan is getting into my sermon, and I didn't say anything, but I just want to talk about the wisdom of God today and how to attain the wisdom of God, walk in the wisdom of God, and let it affect every part of our life. So in Psalms 111 in verse 10, we're talking about treasure from God. I see God's already calling me. He's got a little change. Okay. Yes, Lord, we'll make a change. Okay. Okay. We're looking at Psalms 111 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding, have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need wisdom, the wisdom of God, right? And what's the beginning of that wisdom? What? The fear of the Lord. Come on, you got to talk to me. We're charismatics here. We're Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church. Okay, we're not going to deny who we are. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, right? And we want you to guide us and direct us. And we talk back. You always want to talk back. So I give you permission. Talk back. Talk back. Amen. Hallelujah. So what's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk this morning about the treasure that God has opened up to us. And that treasure will be transferred into your account, into your life today if you will embrace the fear of the Lord. So we're going to be talking about the fear of the Lord, which brings the wisdom of God. And he says his praise endures forever. Now look at Isaiah 33 and 5. The Lord is exalted and he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Look here. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. In other words, you're in unstable times. Anybody feel like you can identify? You've got unstable times. The society, the world you're in is unstable, but God will bring stability to you with wisdom and knowledge and the strength of salvation, the power of God to make everything right in your life, that you can stand with light when there's a curse of darkness, that you can stand with protection when the enemy is destroying all around you, that you can stand fortified by God. The salvation and the wholeness of God comes to you. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. It is the treasure that God has for you through the fear of the Lord that will make you stable in unstable times, will make you strong when the world is and the enemy is fighting you in the world that you live in, and that will bring justice and righteousness into your life. It is the fear of the Lord. That is the treasure. So we're going to open this treasure chest, and we are going to study the fear of the Lord this morning, and we're going to embrace it, and we're going to walk in it like never before. And we must deal with this, because just its phraseology causes a lot of people some anxiety, because the word fear is a powerful word. The notion that a fear elicits this response is virtually in everyone the negative stuff, okay? Because people have all kinds of unhealthy fears that affect their behavior in negative ways. There's people that have fear of darkness, they have a fear of flying, fear of man, fear of a dog, fear of heights, fear of bugs, fear of spiders, fear of being in a small enclosed place, fear of being alone, fear. I mean, there's a lot of phobias that the enemy tries to bring into our life and cause limitation and take away our quality of life. So when we talk about fear, immediately we have to deal with the fears that have brought negative stuff into our lives. But let me tell you what, there's one fear that is not unhealthy. So we've got to delve into that today, because this fear is the key to success in life. This fear is the one that opens up the treasure chest from God that you can have. And I'm going to show you all the treasures that God will give you if you will embrace this healthy fear, not the unhealthy fear. The fear of the Lord may not be on the top of the list of the topics you want to study, but I want you to challenge yourself today and say, I need to move it to the top. I need to move it to the top, because this is a fear that is important. It is unlike any other fears. So in verse 6 there of Isaiah 33, these eight little words make all the difference of the Lord, all the difference there is, because it says the fear of the Lord is His treasure. The indication is that the fear of the Lord is not something to be despised. It's not something to be rebuked. It's not something to walk away from, but it's something that we need to embrace. Now, some people I've talked to about the fear of the Lord before, because this subject matter excites me so much because of all the benefits that come from the fear of the Lord. People have challenged me and said, Pastor, that's Old Testament. That's under the Old Covenant, that fear of the Lord. But Psalms 19 and 9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. In other words, it's not that dirty fear that the enemy brings. It's a clean fear, and it endures for how long? Remember, we're Pentecostal, charismatic, spirit-filled, spirit-led people. You know, we're expressive. Hallelujah. It endures for what? Forever. Hallelujah. It's clean, and it endures forever. In Proverbs 23 and 17, in the fear of the Lord, it continue all day long. So how long should we continue in the fear of the Lord? All day long. So this should be an everyday part of our life, all day long, forever. Even when we get to heaven, forever. Hallelujah. So let me start out by telling you what the fear of the Lord is, by telling you what it is not. It is not a natural fear. You know, you're sliding, your car's sliding sideways, and you're about to hit a tree, and there's fear. There's a natural fear that comes in because you're about to crash. Or you encounter a big dog or a big bear, you know, that's a natural fear. I just tell on myself a little. My sister, she's turning 50 on the 7th. What's the day? The 6th. So tomorrow she'll be 50. We got somebody in here got a birthday tomorrow as well. Brother Harry, happy birthday. One of our elders here, he's having a birthday. And he and my sister are the same age, 50 years old. They're doing good. I told him I want to be like him when I grow up. Man, the youth of an eagle is in this man. So, she had visited, she was in Greenville. I was in Bible college, and I used to run every night. And she wanted to go out with me running one night. And I said, come on. So we're running, and we're running up Wembley Avenue, and I tell her, I said, now, before we get up here, I don't know exactly which house, but one of those houses up here on the right has a big bad dog. Now, undoubtedly, they keep it inside or somewhere because it's not always there. But when it is, it's loose, and it chases me. And I'm telling you, I can outrun it. For some reason or other, it doesn't run far. It'll run up down the road a little ways, but he acts like he wants to eat you. And I said, I just wanted to let you know. Are you okay with that? And she said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Well, I was hoping the dog was inside or whatever. Unfortunately, I hear, hoof, 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 and here it comes. And oh, my goodness. My natural fear kicked in. The brotherly love went out the window. Brotherly protection went out of the window. My natural fear came in, and I just started running. That adrenaline came in, and my turbocharger came on, and I just left her. I left her to the dog. And I went back and turned a corner and got on Henderson Road, and then I'm breathing hard, and I'm looking back, and I'm like, it was a hill. And I'm like, oh, no, I hope the dog didn't get her. And what kind of brother am I? And all of a sudden, she comes around the corner over the hill, and she said, you left me. And I said, I warned you. And I asked you, were you okay? Because you're on your own, you know. That natural fear. I was a bad brother. I know that. But I just couldn't help it. That time, I just did not enjoy the thought of that dog catching me. Kind of like the two guys that were out hiking, and they come alongside a bear. And there's the bear in the path, and the bear's staring them down and growling. And one guy just sits down on a stump nearby and starts tying his shoes. And he said, what in the world are you tying your shoes? You can't outrun that bear. And he said, I can't outrun that bear, but I can sure outrun you. and I'm safe. So I reckon that was me. I was the guy that was tying my shoes. But there's a natural fear that is not the fear of the Lord. There's another fear, and that's the demonic fear that the Bible talks about. That's definitely not of God. We see in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, God has not given us that spirit of fear, that phobos, that fear of heights, that fear of flying, that fear of closed-in places, that fear of spiders, that fear of sunlight, or whatever it is from the enemy trying to limit your life and steal the joy of the Lord and the liberty that God has given you. That God has not given us that. We have to rebuke that, resist that, fight that off, because don't claim it. Don't go around saying, well, I have a fear of whatever. Don't claim it. Say, I'm fighting off the fear of such and such, okay? Don't claim it. Say you're in a war against it, because you don't have to live the rest of your life with that fear. That's not who you are. That is an attack of the enemy. And that's not the fear of the Lord. It's a fear from a demonic realm. 1 John 4 and 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Talking about that demonic fear, those phobos that the enemy brings against us. And the fear of the Lord is not the fear of man. It's certainly not the fear of man. In fact, the fear of the Lord delivers us from the fear of man. Stop living your life in fear of man, trying to please man, serve man, be subservient to man, when God wants you to please him, serve him, and be submissive to him, okay? So the enemy's trying to raise up a fear to control you, and that is not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the position of our hearts where we acknowledge his deity. It's a heart issue where this is what the fear of the Lord is. In our heart, we acknowledge his deity. We come with an attitude of respect and honor for the Lord, and we respond to him with reverence and wonder and worship. What you are participating in here this morning, as we gather together in the name of Jesus, to reverence in wonder and awe and to worship him, is us acting out of the fear of the Lord. It's us walking in the fear of the Lord. And remember, the fear of the Lord opens up the treasure of God to us. And we're going to talk about all of those benefits. Now, here's three words that come to mind when we're thinking about the fear of the Lord. I'm educating you on the fear of the Lord because it's so different from these other fears that are negative in our life. Okay. The first word is awe. It's the word we get our word awesome. It expresses our reaction to the majesty and the power and the holiness of the Lord. I was out walking last night, and the moon was shining through some rippling clouds. It was just amazing, the shape of the clouds, and it was shining through it, and I just began to sing at the top of my lungs. I know the neighbors talked about me, but that's okay. I was singing ascribing glory and honor and praise and majesty to the Lord. And I'm like, God, what you've created. And I was smelling those Bradford pears. I was smelling those other greens that are growing, the shrubs and all. And as I was smelling them, I said, they're giving out oxygen for me to live. And I'm giving out what they need to live. God, the balance of how you've made everything is amazing. Studying the tiniest microscopic element, we find that there's a balance and that nothing could have evolved and to make everything so perfectly work together and in balance. God, you are amazing. And I'm just singing to the glory of the Lord to the place I got hoarse. And I was like, my, Lord, you got to give me my voice back because I won't be able to preach tomorrow. But I couldn't help it. In awe and reverence and submissiveness. These are the three words that come to mind when we talk about the fear of the Lord. Submitting to Him. Lord, I want to live for you. I want to honor you. I want you to say what you want me to say. I don't want to say what you don't want me to say. I want to post what you want me to post. I don't want to post what you don't want me to post. I want to act the way you want me to act. I don't want to act in the way that you don't want me to act. I'm submitted to you, Lord God. Because the opposite of that is arrogance and self-sufficiency and self-proclaiming. And that has nothing to do with the fear of God. I can do it. I'm in charge. I'm smart enough. I got my own argument. Well, your own argument may be intellectually to you a good argument, but is it what God wants you to do? Is it what God wants you to say? Is it a decision God wants you to make? You've got to walk in the fear of the Lord all day long. Isn't that what the scripture said? All day long, forever. Forever, and the treasure of God is open unto you. You don't want the treasure of God? You don't want the benefits of the fear of the Lord? Well, then do it your way. Just take the reins in your own hand and do and say the way you want to do and say, but it cuts you off from the benefits that come from walking in the fear of the Lord. As your pastor, I want to see you blessed beyond measure. I want your life to be so great and so amazing and so supernatural that people around you say, I want to serve the God you serve. I want to have the life kind of like you've got, and you can introduce them to Jesus. I want your life to be such a blessing and a testimony that it's being shouted from the hilltops. Hallelujah. So, but that can't happen unless we submit ourselves to God in reverence and in awe to Him. Another truth that's revealed in the scriptures about the fear of the Lord is that what you fear becomes your God. Wow. Man, a kind of a strange scripture in Genesis 31. You ever read a strange scripture? Okay, two of you. The rest of you, y'all with me? Have you ever read the Bible? If you've read the Bible, you've read some stuff that you're like, I don't really know what that means. Look here, it says, Jacob's talking to his father-in-law, Laban, and he's saying, you didn't treat me right, but God looked after me. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. What in the world does that mean? The God of Abraham, we've read, and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, we've read that before. But here, he says, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. Well, in the Hebrew language, it's very pictorial, and what it does is it shows us like a diamond different angles, different reflections of what God is meaning. And here, God is teaching us that the God of Abraham is the God of Isaac, but the fear of Isaac is what made is who was his God. Who he feared was his God. So it's making that, drawing that picture to us. Says, surely you have sent me away empty-handed had it not been for the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. So Jacob is referring to God as the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. We see it again in verse 53 of Genesis 31. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judged between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Or he swore by the God of his father Isaac. So the object of Isaac's fear is his God. The same is true. Whatever you fear is what becomes your God. Now, if it's the true creative God, then he's the big G. But if you have an unhealthy fear and submit to those fears, little g becomes your God. If you become, afraid of men's opinion, then men's opinion becomes your God. Man's opinion begins to dictate how you dress, dictate how you act, dictate where you go and where you don't go.
because you're living for the will of man and man's opinion and their approval. So now you're serving that. The fear of poverty, if you have a fear of poverty, then poverty becomes your God. It tells you what you can't do. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. I'll never be able to do this. I'll never be able to go to college. I'll never be able to travel the world and see another country. Fear becomes your God and tells you what your limitations are. If you fear disease and sickness, then that becomes your God. And you're like, you know, as Job said, that thing that he feared came upon him. So now, you know, I'm limited because, you know, I'm afraid if I do this, I'll be sick. If I do that, this will happen, this will happen. And now it tells you where you can go and what you can do and what you can't do. So the thing is, we should not fear anything, any of the negative fears the enemy brings against us. They're not from God. We should let our only fear be a holy fear, a clean fear, the Bible says, that is without torment. And that is the fear of the Lord. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 4 and 10. He is quoting Deuteronomy 6 and 13. He's going back to the Old Testament and quoting it as he's fighting the devil with the Word of God when he's being tempted. He said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And he's quoting out of Deuteronomy 6 and 13, which says, "You shall fear the Lord." You shall what? Fear the Lord your God and serve him only. Here Jesus took that diamond approach of another angle and showed us where it says, Deuteronomy says, fear the Lord. Jesus is saying, worship the Lord. So he's showing us that this fear is a reverence and awe and a worshiping the Lord. Only worship God and him only. Hallelujah. So we just are excited today to see that the Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that is our example, is so much detail is given to us so that we can better follow our example. And if Jesus is our example, then we want to look to him and follow what he has done. And we see Isaiah 11 and 1 and 2 gives us the distinctions of the Holy Spirit on his life. We want the Holy Spirit on our life. Amen. So look at what the Holy Spirit, these distinctions are. First, the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. We know that as we walk and follow the example of Jesus Christ, we want the Holy Spirit on us, living in us, and flowing through us. There came on him the Spirit of wisdom. So we see that as we walk in the way Jesus walked, there's a Spirit of wisdom. There's a Spirit of understanding. There's a Spirit of counsel. There's a Spirit of might. There's a Spirit of knowledge. And look at that seventh thing. And the fear of the Lord. So the example that Jesus gave us to follow as Christians, following Jesus the Christ, is that we should walk in the fear of the Lord. Even Jesus, as the Son of Man here on earth and the Son of God, walked in the fear of the Lord. I think that's very, very, very important. I'm trying to make my case that you are going to be committed to walking in the fear of the Lord, opening up the treasure chest of God for your life so that this week can be different, this year can be different, and that you can go forward with confidence in knowing what God has for you. Hallelujah. So what I want to do now, I'm still selling my case, the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord opens the treasure chest of God to you. Let me tell you what's in the treasure chest. Here are the benefits of walking in the fear of the Lord. The first one, God. Say God. This ain't coming from man. This is coming from God. God gives you wisdom. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Truly, God's wisdom is inseparable from the fear of the Lord. So God says, if you will walk in the fear of the Lord, I will give you wisdom. I will give you insight beyond your years, beyond your study, beyond your preparation. He said, I've created everything that you see and cannot see, and from that vast of wisdom, I will give it to you as needed if you'll walk in the fear of the Lord. Another benefit is God teaches you. He not only gives you the wisdom, but he teaches you how to use the wisdom, how to make the right decisions, how to take your company to the next level, how to take your family to the next level, how to take your health to the next level, how to take relationships to the next level. He will teach you. Who is the man that fears the Lord? him shall God teach in the way he chooses. I'm telling you, I'm smarter than I've studied. Not because I'm that smart, but I'm smart enough to walk in the fear of the Lord, and I have access to not just any teacher, I have access to the Creator of the heavens and the earth to teach me, and so do you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another benefit is God reveals his secret and shows his covenant to you. Now, any of you listen to Sunday's sermon? I think it was last Sunday's sermon, Better Things. Maybe it was Wednesday night. I don't remember if it was Sunday or Wednesday night. Better Things. God has better things for us. We have a better covenant. We have better promises. We have better blood that covenant was sealed and signed and delivered in. It was the blood of Jesus. We have better high priests. Better. He says that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He will bring forth the riches from the vast of the secrets of his, treasure chest. He will bring it to you, and he will show. When the scripture in the Old Testament says, show them his covenant, means that you'll live it. You'll feel it. You'll dress in it. You'll walk in it. You'll taste it. You'll smell it. It's an experiential thing. You will experience the covenant. The covenant and these great promises are not just something you listen to and one day you'll attain to. He said, you'll live them. You'll walk them out. You'll experience them. I'm saying this week, starting right now, tomorrow's Labor Day, I'm telling you, every day you're going to walk into this week. We're coming up on Rosh Hashanah, the new Hebraic calendar year that God has set up for us. 5781 is coming right around the corner at sundown on the 18th. I'm telling you, this is a new year that God has set up, the year that Jubilees are counted, the year that the blessings and the favor of God is counted from. I'm telling you, we've got exciting times we're in. The devil says, no, there's a lot of negative, but no. Our God is going to show us his secrets, and we will see his covenant. We will walk in his covenant. We will dress in the provision of his covenant. We will experience in our joints and in our marrow the privileges of his covenant. His covenant is for healing. His covenant is for strength. His covenant is for our youth to be renewed like the eagle. His covenant is to give us a brighter day for tomorrow than we had yesterday. His covenant is from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Bless coming and bless going. What an amazing covenant. He said, he will show it to you. You'll walk it, talk it, feel it, live it. Hallelujah. When you fear the Lord. Another benefit there is to live longer. Somebody say, that's me. That's me. Come on, go ahead and claim it. You claim fear of dying early. You claim fear of a frog or fear of a spider. Go ahead, get rid of those. Say, I'm claiming the blessings and the benefits of the fear of the Lord. That's what I'm claiming. And the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. You're going to live longer. You just as well, you say, well, the rapture is going to take place. Well, then we live in eternity with the Lord, okay? But I'm talking about as long as we're still down on the ground and are still hanging around, God's got days for us, years for us. Don't go ahead and be planning your funeral. Say, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's get ready to live longer, stronger, healthier because of the blessings that come from walking in the fear of the Lord. I'm making my case, I guarantee you. I'm like a court of heaven here is a court of earth. I'm trying to make my case that you will vote. I'm walking in the fear of the Lord for the rest of my life. Another benefit is you're made strong. Proverbs 14:26. This is a short verse, but it's so amazing. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. You're made strong. The fear of the Lord doesn't make you weak. The phobos fears that the enemy brings weakens you, lessens you, okay? Limits you. But the fear of the Lord embraces you, empowers you, and encourages you to be who God has created you to be. Hallelujah. When you wait on the Lord, your strength is going to be renewed. When you put your trust in him, your strength is renewed. You can, the men run and grow weary and walk and faint, but they who wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. There's a strength that God brings to us when we walk in the fear of the Lord. And then there's another benefit, and this may be the last one I'm going to talk about. Yeah, it's you receive riches, honor, and life. The Bible just goes on and on and on showing benefits of walking in the fear of the Lord. And he says here, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. So it's not just any life. It's really that life Jesus was talking about when he said Satan comes what? Kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10, yes. But I've come to give you life and life more abundant. So that's the life he's talking about. It's a Hebrew different word, but it's meaning that same Greek word of the life that Jesus was talking about, because he says this life you will abide in satisfaction. And that word in the Hebrew means overflow. It means more than enough. It's tied to El Shaddai, not a God that just gets us by, but a God of more than enough. Hallelujah. That God wants you to have more than enough. God doesn't just fill our cup, but he causes our cup to run over. Come on now. He says that you would be blessed, that you can leave an inheritance for your children, your children's children, and an abundance to help those that are in need, that don't have, that need help around you. So he just talks about abundance. He says the fear of the Lord leads to that kind of life where you are abiding in satisfaction, you're abiding in overflow. He will not be visited with evil. Hallelujah. So there's a protection that comes from walking in the fear of the Lord. The evil says, I'm trying to get, like this person that was in our neighborhood recently, and they're just sitting there. And then as I'm walking around, I see them keep coming and keep coming. So I finally just stop them and say, can I help you? And they said, well, I'm looking for such and such. And I said, oh, that's in Norfolk. That's not in Chesapeake. That's why it's the same word, same street, but that where you're talking about is in Norfolk. So they, oh, you're right. Okay. They, you know, it was like they were trying to visit someone, but they couldn't find the person in our neighborhood. I was thinking, man, evil is always trying to find us, but God gives them the wrong coordinates. Okay, they're trying to visit us, but they can't find us. Okay, he says he will not be visited with evil. The enemy keeps trying to put your GPS, put your address in, and it keeps sending them somewhere else, sending them to Mars or sending them somewhere else. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't want somebody like me giving them my address, okay? I want the fear of the Lord to keep them confused and not in the right place when it comes to me. So it also says in Proverbs 14:27 that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. There's that fountain again, that overflow, that abundance. To turn one away from the snares of death. Death is trying to grab you. Death is like a trap trying to trap you. Death is like a bear trying to maul you to death. Death is always out there trying to snare you. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and it turns you away from, keeps you from the tricks of the enemy trying to kill you. I don't know about you, but I'm a walking, talking, living miracle. There's been snares of death I don't even know about, where devil tried to kill me. I didn't even know about it. But because I walk in the fear of the Lord, I turned at the right time. I turned at the right time. And the good news is I'm talking about your testimony too. That's your testimony. Whether you believe it or not, let me tell you, that's the truth. You'll see it one day when you get to heaven. You'll be able to see it all, and you'll see that, wow, I had no idea the devil had that plan for me. But thank God he caused that snare of death me to turn at the right time and miss that cause of calamity in my life. And in Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Come on now. I believe we see the benefits of the fear of the Lord are amazing. You receive riches, honor, and life. Hallelujah. So how are we going to impact the world for Christ? We're going to do it just like the first century church did it in Acts 9:31. Man, they had the government against them. They had the established religious community of that day against them. All the powers of religion was against them. All the powers of government were against them. But they blossomed and grew and expanded in such a way. How did they do it? Then the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, they had peace, shalom, nothing broken, nothing missing, and they were edified, they were strengthened, they were built up. How? Walking in the fear of the Lord. So they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and in doing so, they were multiplied and they grew to the place that we are part of that outgrowth from them today. Had they not walked in the fear of the Lord, we wouldn't be here today. They would have not multiplied, and Christianity would have been wiped off of the face of the earth. I'm telling you, let's go into this week and walk in the fear of the Lord. So in closing, how do we get the fear of the Lord? How do we do this? I want to make it very practical, and the scripture lays it out, Proverbs 2 here. Let's just read it. It tells us what to do. There's an if and a then. If you'll do this, then this is what's going to happen. My son, if you receive my words. I've been sharing the word of God. I've shared a lot of scripture with you this morning. Sorry I'm talking so fast, but I'm trying to get it all in, you know, because it's so important. Now, if you'll receive my words, says the Lord, and treasure my commands within you, that you make them a part of you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, you're leaning to wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So everything I've shared with you today, you've got to desire it. You've got to want it. You say, Lord, I'm going to walk in the fear of the Lord. I'm going to walk in the fear of the Lord. This is going to become my life focus. This is going to become my mission statement, that I'm walking, talking, living in the fear of the Lord. Because if I do this, God says that these benefits are going to come and they're going to be overflowing in my life. Psalms 34 and 11 says, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying that to each and every one of us here today, and every one of you tuned in. He said, come, you children. In other words, be teachable. Like a child going to school, be teachable. Come to me, and I will teach you. The Holy Spirit says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit goes on in verses 12 and 13 to describe the type of person that will experience the fear of the Lord. He said, this is who will experience the fear of the Lord. Do you want to experience the fear of the Lord this week and get all the benefits from the treasure chest of God? Here's the one. Who is a man who desires life and loves the many days? Talking about all those benefits of the fear of the Lord. And that he may see good. This is the man, the one who keeps his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. The man who will guard his lips and his tongue is the one who you know. This is the first mark of a person that is walking in the fear of the Lord. If you want to know if somebody's walking in the fear of the Lord, listen to what they say. In this day and age, listen to what they post. Because we have different ways to communicate and speak in this 21st century. Look at what a man or woman says and see what's coming out of their lips, off of their tongue. If it's evil, if it's speaking deceit and guile and lies, and let me tell you what, he says, you'll know you're not walking in the fear of the Lord. I'm your pastor. I pray for you guys all the time. I love you guys. I can't imagine there's not much that would ever come up that I wouldn't be willing to do for you as long as it would bring glory and honor to God. And I got your back. I'll stand with you when you don't even stand with me. I'll stand with you because I understand we all go through challenges and crises and attacks of the enemy. And I'm praying that you would come back around, that you would see me as that good shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. I'm not the great shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd, but I'm a good shepherd. I want to honor him. I want to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want to lead you to green pastures and still waters. I want to do what a good shepherd would do. So I understand that if you're going through challenging times, I'll come along. I'll stand with you even when you don't want to stand with me. Because if I see there's a future and a hope in you, I want to help lead you to that. And I want you to enjoy the benefits of walking in the fear of the Lord. But I can't walk in the fear of the Lord for you. You have to do that yourself. And I can sell you on it. I can show you biblically how important it is. But you have to make that decision. Now, the benefits, you see them up on the screen there. You know, God gives you wisdom, and he teaches you, and he reveals his secret, and shows you his covenant so that you can walk, talk, and live his covenant. You live longer. You are made strong. You're healthier. You fight off the enemy. Yes, the enemy still fights against you, but you're going to come out of it victorious if you'll stay in the fight. And you receive riches and honor in life. These are all the things, but I can't give you those benefits if you won't walk in the fear of the Lord, because they're not mine to give. God says, but I want to give them to you. So as your pastor, I encourage you to embrace this concept, embrace this lifestyle, embrace this notion. Nothing you could say out of flesh or nothing you could do out of frustration is worth forfeiting all of this and so much more. So I ask you today to humble yourself. In all of God, reverence yourself before him and submit to him and say, God, I want to live to honor you. I want my decisions to honor you. I want my life to honor you. I want what I say to honor you. Submit to the Lord. Submit to him. That's walking in the fear of the Lord. That's saying, God, I want to live for you. I want to honor you. And if you will, all these benefits and so much more is just part of walking in the fear of the Lord. Is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your life? Is he? Or is there one area you've reserved for your flesh to enjoy its battle or its pleasure? I would say today, 100%, let's surrender to Jesus Christ. We're preparing to take communion in just a few minutes after this prayer. And these elements of the communion table, they demonstrate to us that Jesus was willing to give it all for you. Do you think he's going to allow you to come in with just a portion, saying, I'm not willing? He said, no, I laid my life down for you. Now you give your whole life to me. Would you submit to him today? You may need to repent. I say, let's don't carry any of that garbage from last week, any of that garbage, even maybe from this morning. Let's don't carry that into this new week. Let's get it under the blood of Jesus. That's what communion is all about, reminding us that there's redemption, there's healing, there's forgiveness, there's the curse being removed and the blessing being applied that comes through Jesus. Let's not carry this evil or anything that we've done outside the will of God with us. Let's repent. In this prayer, submit to God and then rise up in awe of his amazing glory and reverence him and worship him this week like never before. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Father, we pray now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I feel your Holy Spirit has helped me to help everyone under the sound of my voice get a clearer picture of walking in the fear of you, Lord. A very positive thing, a very helpful thing, a strengthening thing to do. And I just pray, God, that if anyone has any garbage, any sin, any foul thing they've said, negative thing they've said or done, or actions that need to be redeemed, Lord God, that they would repent before you this day. God, I repent before you. I repent before you. Lord, I don't want to carry anything that dishonors you and discredits you, Lord. My will is not that important. It's thy will be done. So, Lord God, forgive, cleanse, renew. Maybe someone's here, they've never called on you, Jesus. You said that there's no way to the Father. There's no way to be reconciled to God, our Creator, except by you. That you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. So Jesus, you've given us your name. And you've given us your name that represents everything you've done for us. That if we will just call on the name of Jesus, we can be saved. If there's someone listening today and you've never called on Jesus, call on him now. Say, Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me of my sins, I pray, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And write my name in the Lamb's book of life. I want you to be my King of Kings And I want you to be my Lord of Lords. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with the knowledge of your love. And fill me with your power. Jesus, I call upon your name now. And for everyone else that maybe needed to get something under the blood, I've given you this opportunity. Just ask Jesus. Jesus, there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. You can't be saved from the condemnation that comes from that sin. You can't be saved from the guilt that comes from that sin except through the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, forgive me. Now I commit my way unto you that I might rise up and walk in this week in a way that I would walk in the fear of the Lord with a heart that is expressing its awe, its reverence, its submission to you and worshiping you every step of the way. To you be the glory, the honor, and the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, put your hands together.